Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rajon Rondo, Charles Barkley, Joey Devine, Roberto Alomar, Gaylord Perry, Sean Keane, Johnny Rotten, musical guest The Breeders, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine, and I am here, as always, with the permanent co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. The season's begun, baby.
Ow. And it was quite a week, I would say. A lot of good games.
NBA came out hot.
Yeah, so hot. Guys were literally punching each other.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen in the NBA. There's plenty of altercations, but it takes a lot to get an NBA player to actually throw a punch on the court. Yeah, usually it's like a lot of requesting their teammates hold them back.
Right. When was the last time NBA players were actually punching each other?
Didn't Serge Ibaka and Robin Lopez actually throw punches at each other?
Yes. I actually want to talk about that. That is the last time.
I think
so. Everyone kept referring to that. There was years ago that time Melo punched a guy with the Nuggets and then ran away.
Yes. It was Jared Collins.
Oh, no. Yeah. Jared Jeffries was also fighting people then.
It was a great fight because it was also like a referendum on the Knicks' terrible roster moves. Because they're like, wait, who's fighting?
Yeah.
They picked this guy in the lottery?
But yeah, everyone all weekend was like, wow, that was the last fight. And I was like, Robin Lopez and Serge Ibaka were punching each other last year.
Yeah. And I don't know that it was particularly, was this like particularly more intense? I guess there were more people throwing punches.
There were more people involved.
But yeah, like that's, I don't know. I mean, the real lesson is there's not really a ton of fights in the NBA.
No. There are not a ton of, I would call this a real fight, right?
Yeah, this is a real fight. For sure.
I guess
because if this is not a real fight, there are never any real fights in the NBA.
I can't imagine anyone listening to this who hasn't watched it, but I guess I'll quickly run down what happened.
Yeah.
So it was the fourth quarter of the Lakers-Rockets game. James Harden drove to the basket and got fouled because he's James Harden. And mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram got upset, shoved Harden into the basket. Then they all came together because Ingram shoved Harden for no reason.
Yeah.
Then Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul were yelling at each other.
Uh-huh. And it seemed kind of diffused. Like Brandon Ingram himself is on the other half of the basketball court.
Yeah, I do want to say here, the best part of the clip was while the teams are fake fighting each other, James Harden just calmly walks to the free throw line and is standing there.
Yeah.
At the free throw line, ready to shoot free throws the entire time. Not unlike that time he paid a bunch of guys to beat up Moses Malone Jr.
Mm-hmm. And he walked to the cashier at the strip club and paid his tab.
Yeah, while watching the fracas. Fracas? I think it's fracas.
Fracas?
Who knows? We'll never know. So then Rondo quote-unquote spits at Chris Paul. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then Chris Paul's response is to poke Rondo in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rondo punches him twice. Paul uh-huh. punches back. And then Ingram runs in from like a really far away uh-huh. and throws like a wild punch at Chris Paul.
Yes.
So my first question is Rondo vehemently denies spitting on Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
But the Rockets sent a, I'm going to say, pretty conclusive video that he spit on Chris Paul.
Yeah, I would say it's undeniable. Okay, because there was a lot of Zapruder-ing of the clip. Some conspiracy theorists said that it was actually Carmelo Anthony spitting at Chris Paul. Some people said that Chris Paul was faking it, and other people said that there were actually explosives in the bottom of Tower 7, and that's the reason it fell. No, it's pretty different. Rajon Rondo definitely spits at him. He doesn't like wind up, but he spits on him.
Right. He's not like Tupac wearing the Detroit Red Wings jersey. It's not like that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, he for sure spits on him. I don't know why.
And Chris Paul reacts angrily at the moment it happens, too.
I don't know why everyone was like, well, we've got to believe Rajon Rondo. I mean, he says he didn't spit on him. Why? Like, what?
Yeah, Rajon Rondo's word is good enough for me. It's a classy guy. He's a classy player.
Now, the fight is very short.
It is brief.
So my question to you, Sean, is if we threw these guys in a back alley,
mm-hmm.
who wins the fight?
I mean, I think Ingram?
No, Ingram between Rondo and Paul. Because that's who the fight is really
Rondo. Rondo,
about.
Definitely.
It's definitely Rondo, right?
All of Chris Paul's hitting people is like in the groin when they're not expecting it, you know, like he's not ready to throw down.
Right. And also he's like 5'2".
Yeah. He does not have the reach of a Rondo, but he also just doesn't quite have the mentality of a Rondo. And I mean that as a compliment to Chris Paul.
Yeah.
A rare thing on this show.
Rondo is definitely going to, he would murder Chris Paul. And you know why?
Uh-huh.
Because I think he, of all the NBA players out there, Rajon Rondo is the one most likely to be a serial killer.
I think that's right. I think especially with Chris Kaman no longer playing. It's Rondo. Like he has a lot of the characteristics.
I mean, Chris Kaman is less of a serial killer. He looks like a serial killer.
He's more
sure.
of a mass murderer.
No, I. Well, yes, but I. He's more of like a Cliven Bundy type.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
He's like a militia man.
He would have like a paintball militia, and what he would occupy is like a Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. Jerry West might be a serial killer, though.
Yeah, because of those eyes and that he's haunted by everything that's ever happened.
Yeah. Like, couldn't you see him having, like, weird flashbacks to, like, some childhood thing that made him snap one time?
Uh-huh.
And also, and he claims he was followed by,
the Manson family.
Yeah, the Manson family that one time. And that might just be him covering up for the fact that he's actually the one that murdered Sharon Tate.
Yeah, or like a job shadowing program.
Yeah.
All right, give me the Rondo is a serial killer case.
Okay. First off, he takes 5 showers a day. That is a thing we actually know about Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm. That's for forensic reasons.
Yeah. He has only played in murder towns.
Mm-hmm.
Boston.
Big murder town.
Chicago.
Oh, I mean, listen to the president. That's a huge murder town.
Well, and also, I mean more, he was the devil in the White City while he was there. Dallas, I feel like is less of a serial killer town, but Texas is maybe the most serial killer state.
Dallas is more of an assassination town, yeah. But yeah, I get it.
Sacramento.
Oh, huge murder
serial
city.
Murder town.
Yeah, like in fact, and also like serial murder location adjacent as yeah. Well.
New Orleans.
Oh my God.
And now Los Angeles.
Yeah. These are murder towns. Also, I kind of believe that maybe he forced his way out of Dallas when the FBI got too close.
Well, that's interesting, but I have a theory about, I think what happened is after the Aaron Hernandez stuff, he was like, uh-oh, I cannot be in New England anymore.
Right.
My cover's blown.
Yeah, because I could see the very easily the investigators realizing like, oh, Aaron Hernandez is a murderer. We need to take a look at Rajon Rondo and also Dustin Pedroia. like all these guys, no conscience.
He also hated Ray Allen,
mm-hmm.
who also very well could be a serial killer.
Same kind of meticulous routine. That means he always has an alibi, in theory. Yep. When you're like, I always show up at the arena 5 hours before the game to get shots up and eat the same dinner.
But you know, if Ray Allen's a here's my theory. I think Ray Allen was like a Dexter-style serial killer. Like a serial killer who killed serial killers.
Uh-huh.
And Rondo knew it, and they kind of both knew it about each other, but they couldn't... It didn't come to fruition, you know what I mean? Neither could prove.
Right. They were never able to bust each other. Well, I wonder too if like occasionally one of them would, you know, have a lot of evidence on the other, and then Kevin Garnett would accidentally destroy it just by like punching things because he was watching Making the Band, and he just like started headbutting stuff and clapping his hands and you know. Kevin Garnett would not be a good homicide detective.
No, but he would be a lot like that one homicide detective on Dexter that found out about Dexter, but then was, like, captured. Dokes. Yes.
Dokes.
Yeah, his name is Garnett Dokes. Is the Dokes of the NBA. All right. Can I read you a sentence from the AP's game story here?
Yes, yes.
Well, it's less a sentence and a phrase. Quote, the normally mild-mannered Chris Paul. Here's my question. Sean, has the AP ever seen Chris Paul play basketball before?
Look, I'm not even saying Chris Paul was at fault in this situation, but there's no way.
It was tight to see him get punched in the face a bunch.
Look, I'm not going to lie about that at all. But at the same time, there's no way he's mild-mannered. Like even when he's not playing, he's screaming at people constantly and getting into confrontations. Like he's screaming at his own teammates and own coach all the time, much less his opponents.
Yeah, it's like the normally mild-mannered John McEnroe.
Yeah, He's also fought Rajon Rondo before and punched dudes in the nuts on the court. Like, it feels insane to be like, oh, well, I just watched the State Farm commercials, and he seems pretty nice.
I mean, Cliff Paul is normally mild-mannered.
Yeah, Cliff Paul. If it was like the normally mild-mannered Cliff Paul, I'd be like, wow, that Rajon Rondo committed insurance fraud right before spitting in his face. He spit in the face of the State Farm Corporation.
All right. So Ingram got suspended for 4 games for aggressively returning and escalating the altercation and throwing a punch in the direction of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Rondo got 3 games for instigating a physical altercation with and spitting and throwing multiple punches at Paul. Mm-hmm. And Paul got suspended 2 games for getting punched in the face a bunch, so we're not giving him a harsh enough, as harsh a penalty.
Yeah.
Do these punishments seem low to you?
They seem a little low, and to me what it says is they determined that Rondo's spitting was like the thing that made it too crazy, and 4 was like the absolute minimum they could still give Brandon Ingram. Like, I thought Ingram would get like a game or two more, probably. And I think Rondo should probably get more games because it's. Because
he spit on a guy?
Well, and he, like, obviously what Brandon Ingram did is unacceptable. And also for. Okay. Rondo and Ingram should each get at least one more game because Ingram has no idea what's happening. And he just comes running in. Okay, so the reason the NBA has such crazy anti-fighting rules dates back to Kermit Washington almost killing Rudy T.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that happened is very similar to what Brandon Ingram did, which is like running from half court, wildly throwing punches when you're 7 feet tall. So I just feel like that was a lot more dangerous than what you normally see in the NBA, where... It was, you know, it was essentially the Kelly Oubre push, but with like a jumping haymaker.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like if Brandon Ingram had actually connected on his punch, I don't know. That just seemed more dangerous to me. And also, I get that it's like Rondo's fault and there was spitting, but Brandon Ingram had no idea what happened.
Here's what I think Ingram's punishment really is. It's 2 games for starting the fight and then 2 games for running in and punching.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, he was like...
Because he started the fight for no reason. Like, he
shoving,
pushed
shoving
James Harden,
Harden
for
is...
zero reason.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if he would have gotten... Yeah, that's the thing. It's his fault initially. I probably would have given Rondo an additional game. Just because, obviously, I think spitting on people is gross. I hate Steph Curry's mouthpiece being out of his mouth. It's more of a personal thing, but probably I think he needs a 4th or 5th game. And actually, like, Chris Paul, in hindsight, I think that's maybe a 1 gamer, but I get how you
can't. He tried to eye gouge a guy, though. That's just a bad look. You know what I mean? Like,
more like shady Chris Paul. Like he's very, I know he's very competitive, but like he's also, I gotta say, when the going gets tough, his instinct is to cheat.
Yeah, he's like, eye gouging him is like a real, like, you know that scene in Roadhouse where Patrick Swayze is like teaching them to fight dirty, where he's you punch him in the knee.
Yeah.
It's like a real Roadhouse move.
You kick him in the ACL.
Yeah.
But he does the eye gouge after he gets spit on.
Yes, but his reaction was to eye gouge, not to just like push him. You know what I mean? That is
weird.
Like,
yeah.
You just can't have like.
Yeah, eye gouging. I get it. All right. Yeah. Like something that's illegal in MMA.
Yeah.
That should probably
eye gouging is
have an
legal, is illegal in every fighting sport. Eye gouging is probably illegal in, like, the Geneva Convention. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right, right. By the way, Rajon Rondo has waterboarded someone at some point. I guarantee you that. Usually it's probably to get information about, like, an opposing defense or maybe, like, skincare products, but I bet he's done it.
I think these suspensions are not enough, frankly, for everyone involved.
I think two. I'm okay with Chris Paul getting two, I guess. But yeah, I think Rondo, this to me feels like a five gamer, especially just given it's not like he has a good track record of this kind of thing.
3 and 4 games to me, and 2 games even, is kind of Kiki Vandeweghe saying, "Hey, we want fighting back in the NBA."
I mean, maybe they're right. But yeah, I'm surprised Ingram didn't get at least one more game. Same with Rondo. It is going to cost Chris Paul a tremendous amount of money.
Why Chris Paul specifically?
Because he makes the most money and he's losing 2 game checks. So he loses like $500,000 from this. Now, I don't know what happens if the NBA like secretly gives that money back or whatever, but that's expensive, you know?
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say about the fight at the Laker game?
No.
All right.
Also, LeBron like hugging Chris Paul after the game or after the incident. It's also like, come on, man. It's like his first week at work. You know what I mean?
Come on, man. Which way? Which way are you siding with?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just like, hell yeah, you're siding with your best friend, Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Paul.
That
like,
was
like,
ridiculous.
Like, also, his coworkers suck, man. Like,
yeah, he's like, definitely getting.
Anybody who's worked at a job with. You have to defend the worst guy who works with you, who's starting fights on your second day of work.
Yeah, agreed.
Game 2. Like, it's such a it's so weirdly overhyped. But also we should mention shouts to Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that should have been our top story. apparently Anthony Kiedis was thrown out of the game.
For verbally attacking Chris Paul
while looking like he's in costume.
Yeah, it felt like if like Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men was dressed as Edward James Olmos.
Any other things before we're going to do some season long predictions here, yeah, real quick, but anything you noticed this week you want to point out real quick?
I think the Pelicans might have a really, really good offense. I mean, they've been playing some teams with maybe defenses that are a little half-assed, but I kind of wonder if that combination of just having like a few more good players and Alvin Gentry and Anthony Davis means they could like really score a ton.
I mean, we'll see. I'm not sold on a lot of the things they did, but they've looked really good for sure.
Yeah, and the Hawks seem unusually terrible.
Trae Young was awesome last night, though.
Anyway, they didn't lose all of their games.
No. There was one thing I wanted to one question we got on Twitter I wanted to answer real quick.
Oh, great! Yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
Benjamin Jensen asks, what's the best on-jersey sponsor? Harley Davidson on the Bucks, Disney on the Magic, or Bumble on the Clippers?
I mean, I'm way into Bumble, especially for the Clippers, because like Bumble is definitely the less preferred cousin to Tinder. Many, many people in Los Angeles are on Bumble, and Lou Williams is the NBA's biggest advocate for polyamory. Which is also like a Bumble thing.
Yeah, I think the correct answer is actually wish.com on the on Lakers. Because anyone's ever used wish.com, what happens is you pay a dollar for, and they send you a bunch of crap that doesn't work from China.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's how the Lakers got Michael Beasley.
A lot of these guys are going to end up in China soon, too. Yeah. Like, I kind of feel like JaVale could maybe be an MVP there.
In China? Yeah, yeah, I could see it.
He doesn't really have the stamina, but he'd be a legend. They would love him.
I'm trying
to think. Harley Davidson is pretty cool, but I don't think it matches the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, that's like a Milwaukee company.
Yeah, I just mean I don't feel like the franchise or the players are especially like Harley.
I don't know. I could see Dante DiVincenzo riding, like listening to Bad to the Bone or Born to Be Wild while on like a hog with Dellavedova in the sidecar.
I would watch a Wild Hogs remake starring all the Caucasian players on. But yeah, couldn't you imagine that? Dante, Brooke Lopez, Deli.
Get just your like, motor running. Head out on the highway.
Immediately, John Henson just crashes his bike. And they're like, leave him.
All right, let's do some predictions, dude.
All right, let's do it.
What is your Eastern Conference 1-8?
Okay. So number one, I'm saying this is a regular season one. I know the begin. I'm just not going to change this, even though the Raptors looked fantastic. I had the Celtics being the top seed. Raptors number two. Philadelphia 76ers number three. The Milwaukee Bucks, but biggest motorcycle team in the league at four. You hit a lull when you get to this point.
Yeah.
In the East. I guess I've got the Pacers fifth. It's mm-hmm. kind of a boring pick. That's not that exciting, but whatever. And then I guess I've got who's the team I'm not thinking of here that should be sixth, Joey?
I mean, it could be.
Oh, the Heat. The Heat. I have the Heat six, Wiz seven, Charlotte Hornets eight. I am running.
Wait a second. You're not allowed to do that.
I am.
Your biggest preseason prediction was that the Cleveland Cavaliers were making the playoffs,
yeah,
and you're already
not, I'm after, already backing after three off it. Games. I don't care. They're terrible. Man, I was trying to even construct like funny fake trades for this, and there's not even anything you can do there. Like I thought it would be like funny if they got Dwight Howard, but they literally can't even trade for Dwight Howard.
Well, have you seen Kevin Love?
What did he get scared by a ghost in the offseason?
Yeah, he looks like he saw a ghost.
Like, his hair is gray now. What happened?
I think he drank from the wrong Holy Grail.
It just seems terrible. They could be by 20.
It was Benjamin Jensen again tweeted at us, I believe, saying he looks like LeBron aged him like a president.
Look at Tyronn Lue as well. Like, that's why Kyrie had to go.
Because he was turning into Uncle Drew, literally.
He was turning into Uncle Drew. Even you see him this year, and you're like, it doesn't... How old is Kyrie Irving? 26?
Sounds right.
He looks older than that, I'm going to say. Like, he's growing his hair out. Like, he looks like he's like a woke grad student.
Okay, yeah, do you want my top eight?
I'm backing it off. Yeah, go ahead, do it.
At eight, I have the Pistons. Seven, I have the Wizards. Six, I have the Heat. Five, I have the Pacers. Four, I have the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
Three, I have the Celtics. 2, I have the Bucks, and number 1, your Toronto Raptors.
You're the Bucks number 2. I love it.
I do. I think they're going to be really fucking good. And I made this list before they looked really good in 2 games.
Yeah. My list is the same, except I can't say that about the Cavs. They're going to be unbelievably bad.
If I was going to redo this list, I think I'd have the Hornets, not the Pistons. Even though the Pistons are 2-0 and the Hornets are 2-1. To quote Cleveland's scoreboard, the diff. the Hornets diff is really good.
Yeah, I mean, the Pistons have... Yeah, exactly. And they...
3 games.
They're so much more... They look so exciting, too.
Yes.
Like it makes me feel particularly bad about the Orlando Magic, because it feels like maybe Steve Clifford was inhibiting these guys a little bit. Like, he's out the door, and suddenly they're just this offensive machine.
Hey, dude, the Magic are 1-2.
Yeah, right.
Under Steve Clifford, that's a pretty good start Magic.
I guess that's the best percentage they've had in years. Bamba looks kind of good, right?
I'm gonna full disclosure, I have not watched an Orlando Magic game yet this season.
I watched some Mo Bamba highlights and it was cool. But that was only I don't know. They'll blow it. They'll screw up that team. I mean, they even have more guys I like, but it's still like none of this makes sense.
All right.
Who do you have coming out of the East?
Oh, right. We got to do that. I think it's the Raptors.
I think it's Toronto's year, too.
Yeah, I think I have the Raptors winning. Again, people are probably confused why I'm so down on both the Celtics and the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
They're both, to me, I just always kind of feel like there's always, with young teams like this, there's always a down year after their, like, breakout year. I don't know. And also, the Celtics are bringing in a lot of people, and I think the Sixers also got kind of worse. Without Ilyasova and Bellinelli. And trying to... Both teams are just weirdly trying to incorporate new players in a way. Like, the Sixers are trying to incorporate Fultz. Plus, they went to China, and I'm never big on those China teams. Those teams that had to play preseason in China.
I mean, yeah, but the Warriors did win the title last year.
Yeah, but if you talk to any of them, they're like, we never want to do that again because it fucked up our training camp.
I mean, I think the Sixers are just not nearly the same team with when Simmons and Embiid are not on the floor. And I don't even mean injured. I just mean, like, literally sitting. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I feel like you can game plan against the Sixers. But I still think they're going to win a lot of regular season games. And the Celtics, I think, will win a ton. And then, I don't know, I just don't think their offense is that great.
Mm-hmm.
That's my anti-Celtics thing. And I think with kind of a non, you know, Kyrie can score against anybody, but it's not rare for him to be banged up in the playoffs. And I think the Raptors' defense is extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Danny Green can be like your third defender on people. I don't know. I just think
I don't Kawhi even know if he has to be their third best defender.
Because you think? I mean, I think he's still a better defensive player than OG Anunoby.
I mean, right now, currently, I don't know if he will be by the end of the season, though, is what I mean.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's but just, I it's could just see, good.
Defensively, I could see, weirdly, both him and Siakam becoming better defenders than Danny Green by the end of the year if things broke, like, perfectly.
My only take on the negative take on the Raptors so far is Siakam's a little overconfident in his ability to handle the ball right now.
Yeah, that's tight, though. I'm always pro a big man taking it the whole way. Fuck yeah, dude. Keep it up, Pascal.
But he is, like, not really that good at dribbling. So it's a very high dribble.
I don't care. Keep it up, man. All right, the West, Sean. Let me hear your West.
All right, I got number one, the Golden State Warriors. Number two, the Houstonian Rockets. Yeah, they're from Houston. Number three, I've got the Denver Nuggets.
Thought I was going to be the highest on the Nuggets.
Number four, I'm going to... Oh, you know what? Yeah, number four, the Utah... I'm going to flip these guys, actually, now that I've said it. Utah Jazz, number three. Denver Nuggets, number four. Number five, Los Angeles Lakers. Number six, Oklahoma City Thunder. Number seven, Portland Trailblazers. Number eight, Los Angeles Clippers.
I just realized I had written the Nuggets on my list twice, so I am going to be higher on the Nuggets than you after forcing you to do that.
Oh, you know what? I actually totally screwed up there, and I will be bumping the... move everybody down. I left the Spurs out. Spurs number seven, Portland number eight. Heroic Los Angeles Clippers just missing the playoffs. Mainly because I think they're going to for sure trade Avery Bradley and maybe Patrick Beverley as well.
So, wait, read your bottom five again. Your bottom five.
Oh, so I had Utah three, Denver four, Lakers five, Thunder six, Spurs seven, Blazers eight.
So you have the New Orleans Pelicans missing the playoffs.
Oh my god, what is wrong with my list here? No. Sorry. Pelicans seven, Spurs eight, Blazers out.
So I had a similar list, I think. I had New Orleans eight, the Spurs seven, the Lakers six, the Thunder fifth, the Jazz fourth, the Nuggets third, baby. I'm sticking with that. They're winning the division from our previews. And then I have the Warriors second and the Rockets first.
I'm pretty high on the Utah Jazz right now.
So am I. I just think the Nuggets and the Jazz, it's like a that division is gonna fucking rule. It's gonna be so tight.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm even overestimating the Thunder looking at that.
They're 0-3, and they're diff, to again quote the Cleveland scoreboard, minus 11.
that's just bad. The thing is, I don't necessarily think he's going to be a bad player long term, but Terrence Ferguson is not good right now.
No. I actually like him long term.
I thought I did, and then I watched him play a little more, and it's like, oh, this guy can't shoot at all.
He's really young.
He's also kind of bad at defense. He is, but I mean, like, not really who you want to be starting alongside Russell Westbrook and Paul George. I mean, the Thunder love getting prospects.
They do.
I don't know if there's... Terrence Ferguson seems like a cool dunker and a good athlete, but bad at shooting, and he let Iman Shumpert score like 30 points on him, which is a little embarrassing in 2018.
Yeah, you know what isn't? You know what is would be more embarrassing, though?
What's that?
Losing a 8 Mile style rap battle to Iman Shumpert.
Oh my god. if Iman Shumpert's real name was Clarence? Well, no. I mean, I guess his name is Terrence. Terrence probably has some nice parents.
Who is Cheese? And that's Cheese, right? Is that the guy who shoots himself in the butt or whatever?
The white guy. Yeah. That would be. I think it might still be Mitch McGarry, even though he's not on the team and hasn't been for years.
Anything else you want to point out that you saw in the West so far?
There's no real particular reason to be excited about the San Antonio Spurs. I just feel like they're going to like get it done easier. And I kind of this is like kind of rare for the Spurs, but I think they might end up trading for a point guard.
Yeah.
Just because, like, Murray's hurt, and I don't know. It just seems like, doesn't it seem like you could make some kind of George Hill deal happen?
Ugh, George Hill, though.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I guess, no, on the Spurs. Yes. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's like the one, one team you'd be confident about George Hill going to. And, they're not expecting a lot except to plug a hole and, maybe trade Pau or something.
The other thing I would like to point out is, again, I wrote this list before the season started.
Yeah.
And I think I'm about to be dead wrong about the Blazers. I think the Blazers are actually really good. I don't think they're missing the playoffs. They have looked fucking tight, dude.
Zach Collins looks real good.
Yeah, I remember during Summer League when our friend Elliot bet me that Harry Giles and Justin Jackson would have better careers than Zach Collins. I'm feeling pretty good about my bet. I had the Zach Collins side.
I don't think Justin Jackson's very good, Joey.
He's playing a lot of minutes, weirdly.
I know. That's... I'm not thrilled by that.
The Kings are fun.
Portland got a great diff, by the way. What's that?
The Kings are fun.
Yeah, dude. Like there's the only thing that's really like truly depressing about a bad team is a bad team that can't score at all. I'm into the Don Nelson style of like, yeah, man, like it's fine to give up 145 if you're scoring 130.
Yeah, you know who's been fucking tight this season? Tim Hardaway Jr. for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Great bad team player. All right, we got to move on, though.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the West, Sean?
The Golden State Warriors. Yeah. Although, they're not going to have the cakewalk that they've had in the first couple rounds.
No.
Before, because they do not match up well with Denver. They do not match up well with Utah. The Rockets have proven they can play them tight. I don't think that's going to be different this year. There's just a lot of minds. Like they have trouble with the Spurs. Like
they could play LeBron in the first round.
They could play LeBron in the first round. Playing Portland would be difficult, even though I have them picked to not make the playoffs. Like the Warriors are not super well equipped to deal with big men who can do a lot on offense.
Yeah.
And also they're vulnerable to small athletic guards. So
yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to play the Utah Jazz. As a Warrior fan, I would hope that someone else beats the Jazz, the team I'm
all right, who you have winning the finals?
I have the Warriors winning the finals. I think it would be hilarious for the internet to rally around the Toronto Raptors.
It would be amazing. I think that would be a close and good finals too, actually.
Yeah, I mean, because if Kawhi Leonard had not gotten hurt in 2017, the Spurs would have swept the Warriors out of the playoffs. So now he's got a better squad around him.
All right, Sean, let's talk MVP. I'm going to read a giant list of MVP odds right here. These are from Westgate, I believe, the odds.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we've got LeBron James at plus 333, Anthony Davis at plus 450, Giannis at plus 500, Harden at plus 650, Kawhi Leonard at plus 950, KD at plus 1,000, Steph Curry plus 1,200, Joel Embiid and Kyrie Irving at plus 1,500, Russell Westbrook at plus 1,600. Ben Simmons plus 2,500. Donovan Mitchell plus 2,500. Victor Oladipo at plus 5,000. Damian Lillard at plus 3,500. Karl Anthony Towns at plus 6,000. Anyone else you want to mention here?
The only other guys I would say, Jokic is 100-1. So is Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler. I just think that's a really funny group of people to all be 100-1. Gordon Hayward's 150-1, which is the same as Jason Tatum, which is like, that's just the Vegas tax on Boston fans right there. Like, neither of those guys is winning the goddamn MVP award. It's just a way for the sports books to, like, they have to tolerate those people in the sports book yelling and high-fiving and not pronouncing the consonant R. So that's just a tax. Also, I just thought it was funny that Kristaps Porzingis is 275-1 and Kyle Lowry.
He's not going to play a game.
He's not even going to play a game this season. But it's still better MVP odds than Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, and Kevin Love. Kevin Love, who is 500-1, which is also the opposite of his aging process this offseason.
All right, Sean, what are your best bets here?
I think probably the best value bet is Curry at 12-1.
I was going to say the same thing.
And, I mean, he's been very good at the start of the season, and I just think, like, if he doesn't get hurt, he's just going to be shooting possibly a very high percentage. And
well, and if Kevin Durant gets hurt, I think he has like a real shot at MVP.
Yeah, and it's got to be like no one else having like a super exceptional season. You know, the Pelicans have to end up sixth or seventh in the league or something. But at 12-1, I like that value. I kind of think James Harden might still be the most likely one at 650, but I understand why his odds are that way. I think it's difficult to repeat unless you're very good. Who else stood out to me here?
I mean, based on how this first week has gone, Jokic at 100-1 is a pretty good bet.
Yeah, because, I mean, what if they come in, like, third in the West?
And he had a Wilt Chamberlain line the other night. He had a line that only Wilt Chamberlain had ever done.
That's a good sign.
He shot 100% from the field for like 35 points, and then also had like it was like 12-10 or something. Like, he had a Wilt Chamberlain triple double the other night.
He was definitely, you know, he struggled with Boban though, I gotta say.
He always struggles with Boban. that is weirdly his kryptonite, is Boban, another bigger, slower man than him.
But he is like, oh, I can't, my body's pretty slow, but I can't slow down that far. Also, Boban can dunk without jumping, and that's probably pretty difficult to deal with.
I think Kawhi's a pretty good bet here, too.
That
plus
is a good
950.
Bet. Oh, yeah. And in the East, like... Yeah. Also, you got to think about that narrative, baby.
All that being said, I think Giannis is going to win it.
Also, weirdly, is Rudy Gobert even on this list?
No, even though he's a top five NBA player. I know, it's super weird.
I mean, I can't really imagine a scenario where Gobert wins the MVP, but like, I'd put him ahead of LaMarcus Aldridge.
It would be like a closer winning a Cy Young. It has to be that kind of season.
Right. Like Eckersley?
Who's your pick, Sean?
I'm still going to stick. I said Harden before. I'm going to stick with Harden again.
Okay.
But I would bet on Curry. I think that's the best gambling.
Yeah.
Because he's not. James Harden is not twice as likely to win the MVP than Steph Curry.
All right. What if Jimmy Butler won MVP? He and Jokic have the same odds.
It's incredible.
Like, just bet both those numbers. Yeah, just, bet both those numbers.
If Jimmy Butler won and wins the MVP, oh my God.
He got MVP chance his opening night in
after being booed during introduction. Oh, it's incredible. I love it so much.
All right, let's talk about Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Luka Doncic plus 333. DeAndre Ayton is plus 375. Colin Sexton plus 500.
That's stupid.
Kevin Knox plus 750. Marvin Bagley plus 1100. Trey Young plus 1100. Wendell Carter plus 1100. Jaren Jackson plus 1200. Mo Bamba plus 2400. Naga Porter Jr. plus 2400. Lonnie Walker plus 2,500. Harry Giles plus 2,500. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander plus 3,300. And then a bunch of goofy guys Dante DiVincenzo at plus 5,500.
Yeah.
A person named Jairus Lyles is plus 15,000.
Fantastic. Who's betting on Jalen Brunson to win Rookie of the Year right now?
I don't know. He's also plus 15,000. The same guy betting on Jairus Lyles.
Yeah, oddly high odds for Robert Williams, which is, again, the Celtics tax.
Yeah.
There's also a Lakers tax, don't get me wrong. They just don't really have any rookies.
These numbers seem fucked up to me.
Doesn't it seem like... Okay, to me, the Colin Sexton odds are insane. And I think it might just be that their owner's the only one who also has like a casino on site.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that the idea that people are going to be like, well, time to throw the ashes of this LeBron jersey into the trash and go to the owner's casino to bet on Colin Sexton to win the Rookie of the Year award?
I don't think you can bet on their teams in their casinos, though. Remember all those people who bet the Warriors got all that free money from the Golden Nuggets? From the Golden Nugget after Tillman Fertitta, they had to forfeit all those bets.
Yeah.
But
they would have won them anyway.
Here's the number that sticks out to me. Trae Young at plus 1,100 seems like free money.
Well, it seems like there's three extremely strong Rookie of the Year candidates, and then there is everyone else. And those guys are Doncic and Ayton, appropriately weighted at 3-4-1, and then Trae Young, who's at 11-1, on a team where, like, it's going to be a bad team, but that guy is going to be able to put up numbers.
He was the first rookie, last night he was the first rookie ever to, I mean, since Steph Curry, to go 30, to have a 30-10 game.
And he's going to have the green light. And
granted, Stephen Curry did not win Rookie of the Year.
He did not. No,
but I don't want to relitigate that.
Yeah. look, good luck to Tyreke Evans with his time in the Indiana Pacers. We're pulling for you, Reek. It seems like a 3-person race and one of those people is rated very lowly. I think Michael Porter Jr.'s odds are hilariously high.
So are Lonnie Walker's. These guys are hurt.
Well, also, yeah, like... it's just...
Like, why... Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's odds are way better than any of these people.
Yes.
That are better than him.
I feel like if you bet Dante DiVincenzo, though, the Southern Poverty Law Center should get a notification.
Look... Here's what I'll say about White Dante. Uh-huh. He has outplayed White Pat. I watched the Bucks the other night, and he is fun as fuck, dude. He's just an unconscious gunner.
It's just a weird Rookie of the Year bet. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it's a terrible Rookie of the Year bet.
But
I am pro Dante. I'm pro White Dante now.
I think we also we need to mention that Harry Giles winning would be the most heartwarming and hilarious outcome, because it feels like Philadelphia, Boston, and Utah fans would all freak out about his rookie status.
All right, let's move on. Defensive player of the year.
I couldn't even find any odds on this, I gotta say.
I
just listed a couple. I listed guys that did well in the voting previously.
Mm-hmm. So you have on this list Gobert, Draymond, Kawhi, Embiid, Anthony Davis, Depoy P, which I'm assuming is Paul George.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butts, Al Horford, and Steven Adams.
It's not going to be Steven Adams. I think you got to consider Gobert the favorite.
Yeah, it's got to be Gobert or Kawhi, right?
I think so. Anthony Davis, I think, might actually be the most talented defensive player, but he's too busy putting in those buckets, baby.
Yeah, he's so busy getting buckets.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of think Paul George is one of the more overrated defenders in the league.
Yeah, dude, I agree. he just finished very highly last year, which also was like, really? Were you watching his team all year?
Like, yeah. He definitely, yeah. I'd bet Kawhi if I had to bet this with no odds. If everyone else would have the same odds. But
MVP... Again, if Jimmy Butler wins MVP, I could see him also winning Defensive Player of the Year.
All right. You'd also, we didn't, you also couldn't find any Coach of the Year odds.
They don't. It's such a random crapshoot. I don't even know if people like bet that.
I mean,
looking... I'm sure people do, but
looking,
but you look at the previous winners, and it's like it's very unpredictable. It's not really the best team, or
I mean, looking at my predictions for the standings, there are two pretty big standouts, I think, and that would be Mike Malone or Coach Bud.
Oh, I could see Coach Bud winning. I could see Quinn Snyder winning. Quinn Snyder is like a very classic. Coach Bud has won before, which I feel like inhibits his. I guess I would predict Quinn Snyder.
They love giving it to guys who go to new teams, though.
Yeah. You can only see the voting from the past 3 years, but yeah, Coach. Okay, Coach Bud and Quinn Snyder. Those are the picks I would endorse. I don't think Mike Malone.
I mean, I don't want to vote for Mike Malone, but if the Nuggets are the 3 seed, I think he'd probably win it, actually.
I didn't love... I saw the opener, and I don't feel like he reacts particularly well in-game.
Oh, no, I am not a... I am on record as not thinking he's a good coach. I want to make that very clear. I just think if you go from the 9th seed to the... the 3 seed, you probably win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, even though you were the 9 seed as a result of your own actions.
Yes. All right, which coach is the first to get fired?
This is an excellent one. It seems like it's not going to be Thibodeau, right?
No.
So I'm gonna make a crazy prediction. Billy Donovan.
That was going to be mine!
Whoa! Because it can't be a brand new coach. It's got to be a disappointing coach. It's not going to be Doc Rivers. I would say wild card, Luke Walton.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that card's so wild, baby.
Yeah. That's a mild card pick.
I mean, my 2 picks were going to be Scott Brooks or Billy Donovan.
Those are good picks.
Yeah. I think that Scott goes without
Brooks,
saying.
That's right. All that thunder, just the idea of a Thunder coach getting fired. Just there's nothing more delightful than a Thunder coach getting, like, Scott Brooks looks like he's about to get canned or just got canned all the time.
Yeah. But the reason I had Donovan over him is because Scott Brooks makes $9 million a year.
What?
Yeah. And I know Ted Leonsis doesn't care about paying lots of money to put out these shitty basketball teams, but I think he might care about paying Scott Brooks $9 million
to not coach. Yeah. Well, and also I could see him like throwing his hands up and being like, well, we did sign Dwight, so.
All right. 6th man, who you got?
Okay, this is the dumbest award.
I hate it. It's stupid.
I guess I'm going to... It's even hard to tell... God. I don't even... really have a pick here. I don't even know who the 6th man is on the Jazz. Oh, Dante Exum. Yeah, I'm going to pick Dante Exum as the winner.
Okay.
Just to be interesting.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I'm sticking with... I believe I said in our previews... Dennis Schroeder, and I'm going to stick with it. I mean, he's already started 2 games, so Russell Westbrook's got to stay healthy the rest of the way, but I'm going to say Dennis Schroeder. Why not?
I like that we have him as 6th man of the year, and we think Billy Donovan's getting fired.
To me, those two awards kind of run counter to each other, you know what I mean?
I get it.
Like, a lot of time, like, maybe the Sixth Man of the Year should be starting for the team he's on.
Also, like, the Sixth Man of the Year often just, like, does not reflect a good team at all.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is the guy who scored the most points off the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, who's the better Sixth Man, Sean? Kadeem Hardison or Jamal Crawford?
I think Jamal Crawford has exceeded Kadeem Hardison, the cinematic Sixth Man.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be weird if it turned out Jamal Crawford was using a ghost to do his crossover moves, though?
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, Sean, what do you want to plug?
You can come to the business on Monday nights at Little Joy, and I am going to plug some internet writing on my Twitter, at Sean Keane.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where October 16th, I tweeted, "Dear at Sonic Drive-In, if you get rid of the double stuff Oreo waffle cone, I will never forgive you. Also, please get rid of the double stuff Oreo waffle cone before I never forgive myself. Thanks in advance."
Well, that was a confusing request from Frankie.
Very confusing.
He has no self-control.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's go spit in each other's faces.
Raptors were fierce, intelligent, and socially sophisticated, able to hunt in numbers and coordinate their efforts. Raptors would become the dominant species on this planet.
Welcome to Jurassic Park. Everybody to the left now.
DeRozan will jump and slam dunk. Better put your hands up. We the North, baby. T-Dot be going crazy. T-Rox be throwing it down. The Jonas Valanciunas up on the court, baby. Fear Ramir and fear the red. White, black, and purple fields proceeding to feed the net. Ready for the rest, cause we really know who's the best. Any city stepping up, you know what Ujiri said. Everybody to the left. Devouring them now is down to Lowry. The rap's on the map, just ask my man Nav. Somebody called Drizzy, it's about to go down.
The rap's looking fierce, yo, we got you screaming now. Cats ain't falling, you forgot the meaning now. Think you could beat us, you cats are dreaming now. That's the reason it's rap the season, boy. Everybody to the left.
Even the word raptor means bird of prey.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.